Hello, everybody, and Wednesday is over the hump day, a little after 5 o'clock. I said that, didn't I? Hey, it is Wednesday. It's another time for edition of Butch on Sports. Simply Butch is here, and as always, thanks for tuning in on a Wednesday. Yes, indeed. This has been a wild and wacky Southeast Michigan as throughout the day. Everyone is at urgency right now, as you have not heard. Michigan's going to get hit with it. They say anything over 35 miles an hour is a blizzard. Well, they are waiting for one here. And many people hitting shopping centers, supermarkets, liquor stores. The list goes on and on and on, boys and girls, here to get ready, set, and buckle down because of upcoming storm there. Really and hopefully, truthfully, please be safe. Please do what you need to do to keep you, yourself, family, friends, dog, cat, companions. The list goes on and on and on to keep them safe, really. And let's pray and hopefully that nothing happens like losing power or something like that there. Indoors, be safe. and if you're outdoors, please, definitely be safe here. Let's get to some sports news. I think we have a wee bit of it here and something else. You know, let's talk historically, speaking of the Detroit Lions. I just got to get this off my brains right now. Throughout the first 14 games of this season, or any season in Detroit, Detroit 369 points ranked second to their 44 touchdowns, tied for third. There's 307 first downs, that's ranked fourth. And then there is the total of 5,252 total net yards, ranking fifth. Running wild, yes. I said that from the beginning of the season, and yes, it holds true. When Detroit runs the ball, they have a little bit better, honest offense that they can run. They get away with I don't know what. And believe me, boys and girls, the Lions have gotten away with fourth downs, humongous. However, they use both sectors of the offense, running and passing, to do that there. But right now we're talking about running. Through the first 14 games of the season, or say 15 games of the season, I just counted that today, Detroit has 399 rushes for 1,765 yards. That is a 4.4 average. And guess what? They have 19 touchdowns rushing the boot. This marks their most rushing yards through 15 games since 1998. And you knew who was in town at that point in time. Well, let's say it like it is, and just to make it short and sweet, the Lions are getting ready for their next opponent, the Carolina Panthers. By the way, Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson will be kind of returning home. You know, he was born in South Carolina, but lived, I think, in Asheville, North Carolina. Yeah. He'll be going home. And I know he's going to have family and friends there, as he called his offensive game, that the Lions desperately have to win. I say desperately have to win because there's no room for error for the Lions. Although they're doing good and we're cheering them on, they can't lose another game, which there's three left. Two after Saturday afternoon's extravaganza with the Panthers, which we hope they win and win well. Again, Detroit needs a win, and they got to keep on ticking. They have an opportunity. You know, a lot of prognosticators are just listening to TV, and I don't pay attention too much of it. They say the Lions will be in the playoffs. I hope that's true, but let's wait and see. Lions against the Carolina Panthers this upcoming Saturday. Remember, boys and girls, not Sunday, Saturday, Christmas Eve, 1 o'clock. The Bills quarterback Josh Allen, Jaguars safety Rayshon Jenkins, and the Chiefs punter Tommy Townsend were named the AFC Players of the Week for Week 15. And that goes for Allen, who was offense, Jenkins defense, Townsend special teams. And the NFC players had some goodies too here. The Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, the Giants linebacker Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, boys and girls. I had to put that on in there. And the Lions wide receiver and punt returner, who just messed it up for everybody, especially for the Jets, and I was happy. Khalif Raymond was named the AFC Player of the Week for week number 15. Isn't that lovely? Something to talk about. You know, there were a couple of bowl games that I watched. I don't watch too many. There are a total of 42 bowl games this year. 42. And people tell me, well, we can't have a playoff. All these, you know, and half these bowl games, I don't mean no harm with the organizers of those. That's a good and the quick bowl this upcoming next Monday. There's no people there. There's not no sellout. They're lucky to get maybe half the place or maybe the lower bowl field. The rest of the place is buck naked. And, you know, a playoff would do really good when they use those bowl games. And they say that we're going to have playoffs in 2024, which hopefully at least we have 12 teams. I care less about other big-time boogie bears saying, oh, we don't need that many teams, or we need to leave it the way it is. No, you don't. 12 teams as a start should be a playoff bound. And it was up to me, it'd be 16. All the Division I football teams you have and leagues that are Division I, you don't tell me people don't have an equal opportunity at this so-called fair and equal way they call the best teams in football or the best team. Tell that to Appalachian State, to the University of Michigan and some other colleges that they open up a can of you-know-what to them. Tell them about it. But anyway, let's talk, okay? Talking about playoffs today. Taylor Powell, this was yesterday here. Eastern Michigan defeated San Jose State by a score of 41-27 at the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. you see why? Taylor Powell, oh yeah, was the quarterback. A record for Eastern Michigan got them that win. Eastern Michigan 9-4. They won a bowl game for the second time in their program's history there. The last time they won one was 1987. Guess who they beat? San Jose State at the California Bowl. Toledo was in a bowl game as well, boys and girls. The University of Toledo in, yes, Ohio. Toledo's quarterback, Daquan Finn, who is from Martin Luther King in Detroit. He passed for high school, that is. 133 yards and a touchdown and rushed for another, and he led Toledo past Liberty with a final score of 21-19. In the Pecan Rattan Bowl Tuesday night. And I did see that. They was playing in a nice little rain at that bowl. But that's a two of the ball. I'm not saying they're not important or whatever it may be. Matter of fact, I just kind of tipped my hat off to the Mid-American Conference there. Two wins for them there. And there's still other teams that are from that Mid-American Conference are still playing in bowls. Isn't that something? Don't tell me an extracurricular activity can be had. Don't tell me. Sadness today in football, and it really hit people in the face when we heard about it early this morning. Franco Harris, the Hall of Fame running back who heads up thinking and quick reflexes made known of these certain thing called the Immaculate Reception, considered to be the most weirdest, or maybe some people say iconic, in NFL history. He died today, this early this morning, at the age of 72 years old. And the thing about it is that the Pittsburgh was going to have this big to-do this past upcoming Saturday night, I think, Saturday or Sunday, because this would have been the 50th anniversary of that particular play, which, by the way, yours truly as a kid saw. So I count down the ages and the number 50 minus 68, 13 years old. I was really into football then. That was the old black and white TVs if you had it, but whatever it took, you saw the game. And it was great. It was good. It was tasty. Statement from Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the National Football League, said on the passing of Franco Harris, "We are shocked and saddened to learn of the unexpected passing of Franco Harris. He means so much to the Steelers fans as a Hall of Fame running back who helped form the nucleus of a team's dynasty in the 70s. However, he was much more. He was a gentle soul who touched so many in Pittsburgh's community and throughout the entire NFL. Franco changed the way that people thought of the Steelers, of Pittsburgh, and of the National Football League. He will ever live in the hearts of the Steelers fans everywhere, his teammates, the city of Pittsburgh. Our condolences go to his wife, Dana, and his son, Doak. Franco Harris was a nice, kind guy, and I've met him on two occasions here." Excuse me, boys and girls, I took a swallow of water. Two occasions. One was the Super Bowl here in Detroit. Another one when I do believe it was out of town, and it was Kansas City. Yes, at that point in time, he was a player, and I was a little bitty kid, 12 years old. Yep. I remember that very well. I was visiting. In Pittsburgh. The list goes from there. Very sad to hear about that. Very sad indeed. Tonight the Red Wings and the Tampa Bay Lightning play tonight there. And guess who Detroit gets to see? And I turned that back. Detroit's in town for the Lightning. Now, Tampa Bay, we're not down there. Tampa Bay is here. Jeff Blasso will be in town, as he's now with Tampa Bay. What a lovely thing. What a lovely thing indeed. Detroit Pistons did something today that we're just finding out about. Late on the press wires here. General manager Troy Weaver got a contract extension over the summer. Sources said, we get this from the Detroit Free Press. I'm going to give them all the credit. And the sources told the Detroit Free Press this. The news of the agreement came public today. The source requested immunity because they were unauthorized to speak publicly on the matter. The length of the extension is unknown. So far, Weaver became the general manager and vice president of the team in June of 2020. He signed a 4-year contract. The move signaled a vote of confidence from the owner, which is Tom Gore. Which, my grades right now, is very simple with Troy Weaver. He got some athletes there. He's done his job. Coaching, not so much. There needs to be some changes there. Because to do what you're doing for as many years as the coach, the present coach has, and you have no influence over those kids whatsoever. New ones, old ones, in-betweens, ones traded, ones injured. I know you don't have control over all of that, but winning ain't been one of the things that has really got a grip to the Detroit Pistons. No nothing. And one thing about it, you could talk all the trash in town on those interviews where the team just needs to do this, they need to do that, and constantly repeat yourself here till you're blue in the face or whatever other color you can think of. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't have the influence of your players so they can buy in on what you're saying and keep be consistently getting better at it and getting better at it, if you're getting better, you're not making the same old mistakes. One game, you play good. The next five or six, you just get over the fence. Win, lose, or draw. In this case, for the Detroit Pistons, a lot of losing. What can you say? Not too much. Pistons are playing Philadelphia tonight in Philly. Okay. Speaking of New Boston said Detroit Tigers and Scott Harris are still making those deals. Detroit Tigers has agreed to terms with right-handed pitcher Michael Lorenzo on a one-year contract. Lorenzo's 30. He started 18 games with Los Angeles Angels, 2022, posting an 8-6 record with a 4.24 ERA. Struck out about 85, but he was limited opportunities and kept batting averages down to a no-not one. That's 224. That's pretty doggone, pretty good there. He was excellent in five starts after returning from mid-season trip on the injury list, so he was hurt last season, I should say. He compiled a 2-0 record, 2.36 ERA, from the time he was activated September 9th to the end of the season. So he got grip when he as well. Lorenzo spent his first 7 years in Major League playing as a pitcher with the Cincinnati Reds before he went to L.A. So we have a new one on the block. I missed the press conference yesterday for that there. I'll catch up. Tom Browning, excuse me, boys and girls, speaking of Cincinnati here, authorized one of the perfect games in Cincinnati, one of the only perfect game for the Cincinnati Reds history. He passed away Monday at the age of 62. According to Boone County Sheriff's Office there, deputies were dispatched at Browning's home in Union, Kentucky. That's not far away from Cincinnati from the bridge. He was found unresponsive on his couch. Browning was pronounced dead at 3:13 p.m. on Monday. They said no foul play is suspected, according to the sheriff's office. Tom Browning was one of those pitchers that was good with Cincinnati and won a world championship with him as well. Now, that is much I know about Tom Browning easily, that from the years I watched him. He's pretty doggone steady pitcher for Cincinnati, big time. Our condolences go to him, his family, and friends, and the city of Cincinnati as well. And Kentucky, he lives in Kentucky, but that's a stone's throw away from right across the bridge, Kentucky, right across the bridge of Cincinnati. But it's not far away there. I'm quite sure Cincinnati is heartbroken on that one. The Motor City Cruise, I watched that the other night, late night. I was getting ready to go to bed. I turned the channel and whatnot, and look what I see. The Motor City Cruise, that is the minor league G team for the Detroit Pistons there. It was in this thing called the Winter Showcase. And I got the stats from it, saying it was 15 league changes 9 total ties. Now, they have a set system where the first team that scores 96 points win. That's how that goes. They have 4 quarters, and in the 4th quarter, that extension of 96 come into play. You can be whatever you want to be, but then that extension of 96 going, or whatever the point total comes up for the team to be the winner. Because win, lose, or draw. The Crews won last night over the G League of 19. I was on Tuesday night, and it was late, too, after 12 o'clock. Score was 96-88. Kiefer Sky, he returned from a hamstring injury, which I first time I'd ever seen the guy. This on telly. He hit for the target score, which meant the score was 94-88. And when Skies hit that winning bucket, two-pointer, to make it 96, it's just like the playground, boys and girls. The Crews won the game. By the way, they had lost 4 straight losses before they won that game last night. I'm betting 10-1 to a dozen of donuts. The Crews were very hungry for a win. However, they did it on national TV in front of a visiting audience where they had 4 or 5 teams playing in that particular city, known as Las Vegas. There go my public relations for the Crews. By the way, the Crews do play at Wayne State University. Their next game is soon. I think it's Cincinnati or something here. I'll look it up here. Well, I'll put it in maybe Facebook or something there. One day. This is our last show before Christmas vacation. And we'll be off the air. I'm just going to say, before I get some more news down your throats, I'm just going to say right now, we'll be off the air next Sunday and next Wednesday. Yes. We will be back the following Monday. That'll be January the 2nd. January the 1st, the Lions are playing in Chicago. It's New Year's Eve, the night before. I think you understand. A full vacation. With relaxation to boot. So there. And I'll repeat that before the show's over there, by the way. Detroit Red Wings, they signed Austin Krzyzewski. By the way, they just got him on a trade from, I think, the Mighty Duck of the American Hockey League, Grand Rapids Griffin. Krzyzewski, 30 made 12 appearances with the Red Wings this season. Recorded 3 points, 2 penalty minutes. Who cares? He's going back to Grand Rapids. Red Wings look very sloppy. I mean, they lose all kind of overtime games. They're not good in overtime. That is something that needs to be addressed by the new coach. Of course, they do have over 500 record. And that's something to hoot and holler about. If the playoffs were playing today, the Red Wings would not be in it. That's something to really be serious about. I think the Red Wings is a better team. I think they need some pieces and places to be placed in there. I'm not too agreeable on the trade that they had just recently. They got rid of a Red Wing that basically, this team has never given the opportunity that is needed. Maybe I'll talk about that after the first year of this particular player, okay? It astounds me, but that's how things go. I don't run the team. Let's move down to the University of Detroit men's basketball team. They'll be making one final road appearance tonight when they travel to Cincinnati. Tonight, yes, Wednesday night. Game set for 7 o'clock at Fifth Third Arena. That'll be aired on ESPN Plus if you want to see it on the air, if you have ESPN Plus and paid the dues to see the thing. Or you can listen to it on radio and on 92.7 WLQV or the 1500 AM Faith Talk Detroit, that with that the voice of the Detroit Mercy basketball team is Dan Hastings. This is only their third time they ever met, them and the Bearcats. And the Bearcats is not a bad team at all. So Titans got their stuff cut out. It's the last contest for them of their seven-game road trip. And they played 9 out of 10 games away from Callahan Hall. So they got a nice little home streak coming up there. Hopefully they can take advantage of it. But if Detroit played like they have been playing so far this season, well, you think about it, boys and girls. There's some basketball, high school basketball, that is, throughout the state during after Christmas time. I know right now basketball is muting in the city because of the holiday season. There ain't no too much or anything going on. But after Christmas, you got these holiday extravaganzas and whatnot going in basketball where teams play unknown teams they never played before, or maybe brings a rivalry back there. So if you go out and have an opportunity to support those kids, please do so, boys and girls. Those kids can be doing a whole heck of a lot of things they got no business doing, but they choose to split those academics with some athletic prowess there. They keep them on the straight and narrow there. Please go out there and support them. Do that, please. Speaking of the MHSAA, Michigan High School Athletic Association, Brad Bush has been elected to be serving as the athletic director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, and that beginning in January the 16th. Brad Bush, he comes from Chelsea High School, and he's been there since 97 there, teaching, serving as athletic director, also assistant principal, but his main itinerary is the football coach there. He brought that particular program up to snuff there after he left East Kenwood High School. He was there for 4 years, and Chelsea knew about it, and they snatched him away, and he's been there ever since. But he's been a very high-respected educator and done a lot of good stuff. And as delegates of the Michigan High School Athletic Representative Council, he's very in-depth in sports there. And he'll be doing a job with the football program as well as the baseball and the spring program as well there. So congratulations to Brad Bush. Getting that position for the MHSAA. There are a lot of brand new people there. And I'm finding out slowly but surely here. After that, we're on almost for about a half an hour on this particular show. And I'm glad I just burnt the time. You are listening to Butch on Sports. Simply Butch is here. And as always, thanks for tuning in. As we have a bit ado, Butch on Sports is a presentation of Oh My Darling Productions. Check out Butch on Sports on Facebook. Yeah, do that. Butch on Sports on Facebook or Butch Davis. Hey, and also you can go to the home page for that. That's Podomatic.com. Type in SimpleButchToo.Podomatic.com. Also, go to the GameSportsShow.Podbean.com, and also, as well, GameSportsShow.com. A lot of time. I'm glad and wish you guys a very merry, merry Christmas and a great and blessed New Year's upcoming there. All your wishes and goodies, and that you can stay positive as you can and don't be negative. That's all I got to say here, you know. And again, treat everybody right. We got too much going on that's sick. We got to stop it. We got to, by being nice, okay? Hey, I'm out of here. Have a very Merry Christmas and a very, very festive New Year's, okay? All righty now. And by the way, And I haven't forgot there. Again, we will be off the air. We will not be on this Sunday. We will not be on this upcoming next Wednesday. We will not be on that particular Sunday, but we'll be on the next day on January the 2nd on Monday, okay? Early Monday. So check you on out. Again, have a great, great holiday.